Good morning and Merry Christmas. And yes, it is still okay to say Merry Christmas. Boy, that feels really good. I'm Gary Zimak. Great to be back live in the studio with you today. Feels like I've been gone forever. We've been doing some pre-recorded broadcasts. I hope you had a great Christmas day. And we here at Holy Spirit Radio and Spirit in the Morning, we're going to keep the Christmas spirit alive at least through the octave of Christmas. So we are still celebrating Christmas because it's too big of a celebration to just pack into one day. That's why we're so grateful that the church reminds us that we have this octave of Christmas. So we're still in the Christmas season. We're going to be playing Christmas music. We've got a great guest on the program. Joe Wetterling will be joining us from the Catholic Writers Guild. What is the Catholic Writers Guild and why does it matter? Stick around and we're going to get right to that. Okay, I am joined today not only by my usual sidekick, but it's an extra. Good morning, Mr. Barker.
Good morning.
That was not a good introduction. I'm out of practice.
You want to start over? Okay, folks, we're going to start
over.
Now,
the one and only Mr. Dave Parker.
Good morning, Gary. Merry Christmas to you and your family.
Merry Christmas, Dave. Good to see you again live in the studio. It's been a while.
Yeah, we got to get our rhythm again.
I know. We do. And we're also joined by our Director of Operations. And this is nice because we're not in trouble. Usually when Frank comes in, there's
nothing's broken.
There's a problem. Frank Eliason, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you as well. It's such a great time of year.
Merry Christmas, Frank.
Merry Christmas, Dave. It's so fun to be on the air, you know, and actually being live, you know, celebrating Christmas.
I know.
You know, it's funny. My daughter heard my wife on the phone yesterday saying Merry Christmas, and she said, it's no longer Christmas. I was like, no, it is.
Mm-hmm.
It is Christmas. It's Christmas. It's now the Christmas season.
Yes, it is.
And we've been looking forward to this moment.
That's right. How was your Christmas, Frank?
It's beautiful.
I heard you had a bit of an adventure, too.
My dogs had a great Christmas. My dogs had a great Christmas. But after we had our ham, put the ham in the fridge, and
well,
the dogs decided to open the fridge and help themselves to what was left of the ham. So I was looking forward to the leftovers. And the dogs had a really great Christmas meal.
Well, you have two dogs, but one is the smarter of the two.
Yes, and we have one who's a Norwegian Buhan. He's pretty smart, and I'm thinking he opened it. Now, the other one, he's not, let's just say, not as smart. He's a Shar Pei. He's a really cute dog, but a big mouth.
Oh, yeah.
And so, let's just say, I think he enjoyed a huge chunk of that ham.
Yes.
Well, I'm glad to see everybody.
Everybody had a good Christmas. Yeah, exactly. Christmas.
And then copious amounts of water afterwards.
That
right?
is correct. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Dave, your Christmas?
Yes. Oh, very, very well. Had my sons and their families in, and my sister and brother-in-law from Wilkes-Barre, Pennsylvania. Anyway, wonderful. It was just wonderful. We're blessed. And I want to do a shout-out to them. Especially Ryan, who's in the Army, and Leah and Maddie and Liam. They're going to be leaving midday today to go back to Maryland. So love you guys. And Barbara. I love you, Barbara.
That was nice. Glad you guys had a great Christmas.
Thank you.
Glad to be back in the studio with you. I had a wonderful time, too. We had Eileen's two sisters were over, and we cooked a pork roast. Everything worked out nicely, which is nice because you remember my Thanksgiving story. It all worked out.
Yeah.
Eileen makes some excellent mashed potatoes, so it was a really good.
Well, Gary, I'm remiss. Let's go back. We have to go back and retake. Gary, how was your Christmas?
I don't want to bring that up. Nobody asked.
Frank and I are telling you. And then I'm sorry, man.
That's okay.
Sorry.
Well, thanks for caring,
all
Dave.
Right.
but it's nice. It's nice to be back live. And again, we are going to keep the Christmas spirit going. On the way over today, I was trying to find some Christmas music on the radio. Frank, I didn't hear any.
They're disappearing. It's so
it's
amazing
gone.
How people are like, okay, Christmas, we're done. They start it way too early nowadays.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, in many ways, take away from what it really is about.
Exactly.
But then they end it.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Absolutely.
You know, we should be celebrating now through the Epiphany. And, like, you know, I don't know why we're doing this.
Yep. But that's why we're here. We're here to keep it alive. And it almost seems, Dave and Frank, difficult to wish people a Merry Christmas because it just doesn't feel right because the culture is saying, oh, no, it's over. But, you know, but we should do that.
Yeah, exactly.
We sometimes should go against the grain of culture.
That's right.
And, you know, and sometimes teaching it by what we do in our own actions.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And I think by doing so, we can bring people around slowly but surely.
I don't know if each of you in your own way felt this, but, I mean, we were in that mad run-up, to, you know, through Advent and, to Christmas. And then it comes, and then everybody, that big sigh, that big let, now I can relax, you know. But we need to stay focused on the Lord and His birth. You're right, guys.
But that's partially because we've gotten away from what Christmas is all about.
Yep. Yes. Yep. Well, that's why we're here. And you know, it's funny. Last night I sat down for a little bit, and I think I had a great Advent this year. I think what we did here really helped me. But I sat down and I just thought about it, about the birth of the Lord, the incarnation, that He loves us so much that He became one of us. That wasn't exactly a pleasant experience for Him. He had to suffer. I mean, He had to go through things that He went through voluntarily. Mm-hmm. The crucifixion aside, just the fact that He was born in a stable.
Yes.
I mean, you know, that is not exactly
the poor.
Right.
You know, it wasn't like, you know, living this lavish lifestyle.
Yeah. He didn't come in as a king or, you know, the royalty that everyone expected this new Messiah to come as.
Right, right. So the danger for us is to get caught up in the commercialism and the materialism and lose sight of the fact that Jesus lived a life of poverty. And I think it's good for us not to get rid of all of our possessions, but to keep a sense of detachment.
But there's a humbleness that comes that should come from this time of year and starting to get, you know, much more humble. I think that's something we've lost in recent years, and maybe it's the commercialization, maybe it's any number of things, not just at Christmas time, you know, but humbleness is really what a lot of things are about. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Jesus in His life was a humbleness in many ways.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the Be Not Afraid Bible verse will kind of reflect that. We'll talk about that today. That's going to be coming up at 7:50. Also, don't forget, Joe Wetterling will be here joining us by phone, the president of the Catholic Writers Guild. So we've got all that. We've got Christmas music still, at least for the remainder of the week. We are still in the octave of Christmas. And actually, the Christmas season itself goes up until the baptism of the Lord, which is not this Sunday, but the following Sunday. Mm-hmm. So really, we are definitely still in the Christmas season. So we're going to keep that spirit alive for you. Boys, by the way, I forgot to do this.
Oh, the bell.
It is a feast day. Today is the feast of St. John the Apostle and Evangelist. And actually, we had a feast day yesterday, St. Stephen the First Martyr.
Yes.
And then we have a third feast day. There's a lot of feast days during this week. It's actually I'm wrong. There are four feast days this week. Mm-hmm. There is the Feast of the Holy Innocents on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. And then Friday, we're going to do a pre-recorded show on Friday. But Friday will be the Feast of the Holy Family of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. So we've got four feasts this week during this octave of Christmas. So a lot to celebrate here on the program. And why don't we kick it off with prayer?
Okay.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Dear Father in heaven, we give You thanks for giving us this new day. We thank You for the blessings that You've given to us. Especially, we're grateful for the blessing of Your Son, Jesus, who entered the world, who became one of us, to live amongst us, to suffer, to die, and to rise from the dead, so that we can all one day live with You in heaven. We ask You, Father, to bless us, to bless our family members, to bless all of those we will encounter today. We ask You to heal the sick, to be with those who are anxious, those who are troubled about their problems, those struggling with financial difficulties, those who may be dealing with doubt or despair, anyone who is dealing with any kind of an addiction today. We ask You to heal them all, to break the chains, and to allow them to experience Your love. We ask You to accept all of our own personal needs, whatever they may be. And we ask You to speak through us on the radio program today. Please let Your message go forth from our lips and open our minds and our hearts to be receptive to Your message. We ask this through the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, Your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with You and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. St. John the Apostle, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So since today is a feast day, we have a special gospel today, and I'm going to read that now. This comes from, appropriately enough, John's gospel. So John was an apostle. He was also an evangelist. And here's what we have. This is a good one today. This is from John chapter 20, verses 2 through 8, and I will have this linked at spiritinthemorning.com. On the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene ran and went to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved. And he told them, they have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we do not know where they put him. So Peter and the other disciple went and came to the tomb. They both ran, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and arrived at the tomb first. He bent down and saw the burial cloth there, but he did not go in. When Simon Peter arrived after him, he went into the tomb and saw the burial cloth there. And the cloth that had covered his head, not with the burial cloths, but rolled up in a separate place. Then the other disciple also went in, the one who had arrived at the tomb first, and he saw and believed. Now, this is a very interesting gospel. We see John. What do we learn from this? Well, John's a faster runner than Peter. Right? That's one thing. But John got there first, and this has always been the opinion of many theologians through the years, that out of respect for the authority of St. Peter, the first pope, John did not go in because he got to the tomb first. Mm-hmm. He let St. Peter go in first.
He deferred to him.
He deferred to him, yes. Mm-hmm. And that's what we see in this gospel. But, you know, I think this really, guys, this very much personalizes John. And it makes us realize, you know, we hear John's gospel, we hear the disciple that Jesus loved, we hear a lot about him, but this was a real experience. Try to put yourself in his place. If that was me and Mary Magdalene and said they have taken the Lord from the tomb, we don't know where they put him. Jesus said that he was going to rise from the dead, but I don't think anybody remembered that. And they all panicked like, oh no, the Lord is gone, right? And I think so many times we do the same thing. We put limits on God and we forget what he says. Mm-hmm. We forget that he tells us through the scriptures that nothing will be impossible.
Well, we put our human expectations on things, and that's really what they were doing, is human expectation. It's going to be there regardless of what they were told.
Mm-hmm. Right. That's right. So the body's not there.
Yeah.
Somebody must have taken him.
That is correct.
Yeah. Their mind
first thought, yeah.
Yeah, their mind doesn't go back to the Lord's words saying that I will rise from the dead. Can you imagine what Jesus is thinking? Like, oh, how many times do I have to tell these guys?
Oy vey, come on. Right.
But he does that with us so many times because he tells us to not be afraid. Well, why? Because he's got everything covered. But yet we panic when situations arise. And I think that's a good reminder for us to remember that Jesus Christ loved us so much that he came to earth, he became one of us, and he still is with us, present, fully present in the Eucharist, and he set up a church. He founded a church based on the leadership of St. Peter. So we have a pope leading us, leading this church founded by Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Why do we worry? Why do we panic? Mm-hmm. It's going to be all right.
Human nature, the fallen human nature.
That's right. So that's why we need to be aware. We need to work on becoming aware that the Lord is present, that he's with us, and no matter what we're going through, he is right by our side. Good thing to keep in mind on this feast of St. John the Apostle. When we come back, I'm going to read a great article by Patty Armstrong, 12 prayers to help you receive all the gifts God has for you. Don't go anywhere. I'm Gary Zimek. It's Spirit in the Morning. The time is 7:14.
This is Franciscan Media's Saint of the Day for December 27th. Today we celebrate St. John the Evangelist. Church tradition and many scholars link the fourth gospel to a historical tradition that goes back to John, son of Zebedee, brother of James, and friend of Peter. With them, John seems to have shared a special closeness with Jesus. In the fourth gospel, an unnamed disciple called the disciple whom Jesus loved is often thought to be John. He is the one who, standing at the foot of the cross, was singled out to care for Jesus' grieving mother with the words, "Behold your mother." In the other three Gospels, John is present at the transfiguration of Jesus and the agony in the garden. With the other disciples, he saw the risen Lord. The profound theology of the fourth Gospel has led artistic tradition to represent its author with the image of an eagle, symbolizing the heights to which the gospel's themes lead us. And yet, we get a different view of John, and St. Peter as well in Acts of the Apostles, where both are described as uneducated, ordinary men. It is believed John died at the beginning of the 2nd century.
The new Saint of the Day app is available now for your smartphone or tablet. From Franciscan Media, this has been Saint of the Day.
Unexpected, would you believe after all we've projected a child in a manger? Lowly and small, the weakest of all, unlikeliest hero, wrapped in his mother's shawl, just a child. Is this who we've waited for?
How many kings bite down here? That's a great message, isn't it? How many kings have done all this for me? How many kings have loved me enough to come to earth and live with me? When you think about what Jesus did, it's just incredible. Don't stop thinking about that. It's so important for us to just reflect on the fact that Jesus loves us so much that he wants to be with us. He wants to suffer with us. He wants to go through whatever we're going through. You are not alone. Just don't ever forget that. My name is Gary Zimek. You are listening to Spirit in the Morning. Great to be back with you live in the studio. We took a couple days off. and did some pre-recorded programs. But it's just fantastic to be in the studio, to be back here with Dave Parker, Frank Eliason. The gang is back together again.
Woo-hoo, the team's
right?
back together,
isn't that,
folks.
Doesn't it feel good, Dave?
It does, Gare. It really does.
Yeah. It was great being able to spend some time with our families, though, mm-hmm. but it's also nice to be back in the studio.
Absolutely. Can I ask you this? How was your commute in? Less traffic?
Less traffic
today.
Oh,
yeah. Isn't it beautiful?
Yeah. It was really nice.
We have to enjoy this time of year. You know?
It was really nice. Yes, it was very light, but I love my commute. I have somewhat of a long commute because I'm coming from South Jersey, but it's really nice because I get to pray a lot, and me and the Lord were chatting, and I was telling him, we're just chatting about things that are going on. I was talking about things that were concerning me. And I would encourage you to do that. If you're not in the habit of doing that, just get used to talking to Jesus. And I think that's one of the things, it's one of my goals for this program, to help you to remember that Jesus is with you. He loves you. He cares about the small details of your life. There are not a lot of friends that care about everything that's going on with your life. Keep that in mind when you're talking to him.
Remember, Dave? Jesus knows down to the very hair on your head. He knows everything about us.
That's true.
And just think about the billions of people in the world and how incredible that is.
Yeah, it's a great thing. So make sure, and we were so blessed to have Father Larry Richards on the program with us last Thursday. One of Father's big messages is that we have to pray every day. And it's when you think about how many hours are in a day and how many things you do, prayer, sometimes it gets pushed off to the side, but we all have some time for prayer. And, you know, Father Larry says it in a more blunt way than I'm going to say it, but
he is blunt.
But we all have some time to pray. And I found a great article that I want to share with you by one of my favorite authors, Patty Armstrong. I'm going to have this linked at spiritinthemorning.com. 12 prayers to help you receive all the gifts God has for you. These are really simple. Dave, when you hear mm-hmm. some of these, you'll realize that, wow, I might not think to pray for these things. A lot of times we pray for material mm-hmm. things, mm-hmm. and it's okay to do that. We all have bills to pay. We mm-hmm. need material possessions. There are things we need. Mm-hmm. But sometimes we forget that there are spiritual gifts that we mm-hmm. should be praying for.
Absolutely.
And Dave, check some of these out because these are very, very powerful. You ready for this?
I'm ready.
These are 12 things. I'm going to go through them kind of quickly because I really want to try to get them all in. Number one, dear Lord, please use me to accomplish the maximum amount of good that you have created for me. I don't want to just get by, but rather to be carried on eagle's wings. What I like about this first prayer is that those of us who recognize that God has given us something to do, and we all have been given something to do. The Lord wants us all to do something to advance the kingdom, his kingdom on earth. We've all been given that. Not everybody gets that, though. It took me a lot of years to get that. But once we do get it, what do? We tend to say, I'm going to do this. I need to do this. Me, me, me. Mm-hmm. And we forget to say, Lord, please help me. Please help me. Please use me to do good, but help me. Give me the grace that I need to mm-hmm. do it. I'm not doing this on my own.
And the discernment.
Yeah, you know, right. Yes. Right. Now, number two, Jesus, help me to get over myself and remember to offer up even low-level suffering.
Very important.
Right?
Yes.
Complaining about the weather, complaining about the traffic, complaining that you have an upset stomach, complaining about a boring class mm-hmm. you have to go to, complaining about this. We forget. We can offer up all of this. This is
exactly.
suffering.
Yes.
We have suffering every day.
Yes.
And if you're listening to
redemptive suffering. We can use it all for that. Our ultimate goal.
Right. But it doesn't have to be terminal cancer. It doesn't have to be a severe problem in your life. You all have little amounts of suffering. Just get into the habit of offering up your suffering. This is one that's near and dear to my heart. The next one, the next prayer, take away my fear. Give me the strength to pray as you did for the Father's will, then for my will to be done. As somebody who speaks a lot about overcoming anxiety and who has always struggled with anxiety, I love this prayer because this is something that I do. Rather than just try to stop worrying on your own, ask Jesus to take away your fear. Get used to praying that prayer every day. Number four, kill my pride, please. Completely. Don't let me get in your way. Help me, Dave, to be humble so that I don't humiliate myself. Mm-hmm. Help me to be humble.
Yes.
Right? You're asking the Lord.
That is a toughie. That's one of the toughest ones each of us faces, the pride issue.
But Dave, that's a dangerous prayer. When you pray for humility, what's going to happen is the Lord's going to find ways to humble you. It really it happens, but in the end, it is worth it. I mean, I don't like to be humiliated, but I think we need that. We need to stay humble.
But do you want me to really work on it with you, Gare?
Yeah. Yeah. You're very good at keeping me humble, Dave.
And likewise, Gare.
Number five, help me to trust you more than I trust myself. Remind me that you are the one that keeps the earth in orbit. Wow. Mm-hmm. I forget that. You know, you look at the world, the sun rises every day, and sometimes I forget that the Lord also can handle my problems if he can keep the world spinning.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
Number six, Lord, get me out of the driver's seat, even if you have to pry my hands off of the steering wheel.
Wow.
That's a tough one, but what a great prayer. Mm-hmm. Lord, break my desire to constantly be in control. Let me yield control to you. That's a prayer. That's asking for help to do something that's very hard to do on our own.
I think a very famous contemporary singer had something in Carrie Underwood.
Oh.
Jesus, take the wheel.
Yeah, we've played that song on the show.
Absolutely. I love that.
Yes. Yeah. Dear God, pinch me when you catch me comparing myself with others. No one's second thought. I love the way Patty writes. No one's second thought. Knock me right on the head. Comparisons invite envy, pride, and jealousy. Dave, there's only one person who we should compare ourselves with. That's Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
When we start comparing ourselves to others, we start to maybe feel a little bit better than we mm-hmm. should be about the way we're doing things. Well, yeah, I do bad things, but Dave Parker, he really does bad things. And I'm just using you as an example. But that's wrong.
Yeah, I understand.
Because then I start to have an inflated sense of ego, right?
Yeah, my pride. Yeah. We all do that. The comparisons.
Right. Jesus, I am so distracted sometimes. Please help me to pay more attention to you by praying and going to adoration and receiving the sacraments more often. Wow, that's a good one to remember. Mm-hmm. We're going to do more of these later on in the show because we've got about four of these left. Great prayers that we can pray to help us receive all the gifts that God has for us. This is by Patty Armstrong, and we will have that linked at Spirit in the Morning. When we come back, we're going to have Joe Wetterling join us. Joe's the president of the Catholic Writers Guild. It is 7:28 on Spirit in the Morning. Don't go anywhere.
Dear brothers and sisters, this is Archbishop Charles Chaput wishing everyone listening to Holy Spirit Radio a joyous Christmas. Christmas celebrates the birth of Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, and the Savior of the world. His guiding light, which dawns today, proclaims the love of God as well as service of neighbors. May that light guide us and inspire all our actions. May God bless you and your families with a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Support for Holy Spirit Radio is provided in part by the Bucks County Pro-Life Coalition. Their mission is to provide financial support to area crisis pregnancy homes and centers and educate the community regarding sanctity of life issues from conception until natural death.
Christopher Minutes, thoughts on making every day count. I'm Tony Rossi. Motivational speaker and author Zig Ziglar once shared the following thoughts on success. He said, "You are at the top when you know that a win doesn't make you and a loss doesn't break you. You're at the top when you are mature enough to delay gratification and shift your focus from your rights to your responsibilities. You are at the top when you are pleasant to the grouch, courteous to the rude, and generous to the needy. You are at the top when you can look back in forgiveness, forward in hope, down in compassion, and up with gratitude. Finally, you are at the top when you stand in front of the Creator of the universe and He says to you, 'Well done, thou good and faithful servant.'" This message was brought to you by the Christophers. Thanks for listening, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.
You are listening to Spirit in the Morning with Gary Zimak.
O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee light above the deep and dreamless sea. The silent stars go by, yet in the dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes, the fears of all the years are met in the
Little Town of Bethlehem by Sarah McLachlan. Isn't that a good version of that song? I really like that. We like to try to give you a variety of Christmas music, music in general here on Spirit of the Morning. And yes, we are still playing Christmas music, but that was O Little Town of Bethlehem, a reminder that Jesus did become flesh. He did take on flesh because he loves us so much. I'm Gary Zimak. You are listening to Spirit in the Morning. Right now, the temperature at the Philadelphia International Airport is 56 degrees. Today, we have a chance of showers before noon with a high near 60. Wow, that sounds really good. I know, Dave. That's amazing. Tonight, mostly clear, low of 36. Tomorrow, partly sunny, high near 44 at the moment. In Quakertown, it's 52 degrees. In Bensalem, it's 58 degrees. And in Gap, it's 52 degrees. I'm pleased to introduce a friend right now. Joe Wetterling is the president of the Catholic Writers Guild. In addition, he's an educator, he's a blogger, and he's a writer, and he is a great guy. He's joining us on the program today to talk a little bit about the Catholic Writers Guild. Joe, good morning. Good morning, Joe. Hello, Joe. I know you're there because I just talked to you. We are trying to get Joe Wetterling on with us. He is the president of the Catholic Writers Guild, and we're going to have him with us momentarily. Let me just tell you briefly about the Catholic Writers Group. The Catholic Writers Guild, they're a group of writers, artists, editors, illustrators, and they are dedicated to building a vibrant Catholic literary and artistic culture. And we are trying to get Joe Wetterling right now on the line with us, the president of the Catholic Writers Guild. I have him here. Joe, are you there?
Hello.
Joe, good morning. Sorry about that. We had some technical difficulties getting you on here. How are you doing today?
I'm just fine, Gary. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being on with us. Joe, I want to talk a little bit about Catholic literature. When we hear Catholic writers, typically we might think it's all spiritual in nature or maybe all historical. But in reality, Catholic literature encompasses a wide variety of genres, doesn't it?
Absolutely. It encompasses all genres, all ages.
Yeah. There is even Catholic fiction, correct?
Oh, certainly, yeah.
Yeah, and that's something that I wasn't aware of. Let's talk about this whole idea of the Catholic Writers Guild, and how does somebody get started if they feel they are being called to be a writer? As was the case with me, I had no literary training, but I felt that I was called to be a writer. What do you do if you feel the Lord is asking you to write?
Well, I think the traditional answer to that first would be to go and write. Because that's what makes you a writer. But if you want some guidance, you can certainly contact the guild. We truly try to operate as a guild in that, you know, old medieval sense of connecting people with, you know, experienced folks who can help them along. And people who get that, like you said, being a Catholic writer does not mean you write explicitly Catholic nonfiction catechetical work. You can be a Catholic and be a writer.
Yeah. Now, Joe, here's in my particular case, when I decided I felt this call to be a writer, I didn't know how to get my work out there. I didn't know how to contact a publisher or whatever. So I started to blog, and I think that's a great way to really get started in the field of writing in general. But Catholic writers, there were so many great bloggers out there. And I know you blog as well. Could you talk a little bit about blogging and how one gets started with that, and maybe how, you know, if somebody feels a call to do that, how they can get started as a blogger? And also, what is a blogger?
Well, sure. A blogger nowadays might be a little tricky to define. It's almost anyone who writes, you know, online, usually small articles anywhere from, you know, 100 or 200 words out to something maybe lengthier. There are what I might call essay bloggers out there that are writing lengthier pieces. Mm-hmm. But they're generally, you know, cohering around some topic that could be faith, that could be motherhood, that could be fiction critique, that could be writing short fiction. Anything that happens to appeal to you, whether it's a really narrow field. But the beauty of blogging is that you can target a very, very small niche that you might not otherwise be able to write for in a, you know, a larger sense. And it gives you some great experience if you don't intend to just, I don't want to say just be a blogger, but if you don't intend to use that as your main means of writing, it gives you a lot of wonderful practice in connecting with an audience, in writing in general. And there are many people who focus on blogging. It is something that could become your mainstay. And there are people who do a wonderful job at that.
There really are. Now, how about what's your story personally, Joe? How did you get started as a blogger, as a writer?
Well, I actually started just exploring my own faith and my own questions back when I was in college. I did some formal study in catechetics and got a diploma in it. Mm. And after a little while, I had satisfied some of my own questions, really built up my own faith. And I realized I had primarily used it for that purpose, but I had studied how to educate people in the faith. I probably ought to be doing that. So I went off and started a blog, not really knowing what I was doing. I just wanted to maybe assuage my own guilt. And I love how God can use even kind of stupid, selfish ideas like that
and turn
them
brother.
Into something
yeah.
good.
Yeah.
You know, so if nothing else, my initial attempts had me out there looking for other Catholic writers and options for promotion, and hooked me into the Catholic Writers Guild.
Mm.
And it definitely taught me some hard lessons about writing, too, and writing for an audience and really getting a sense of your voice and your focus as a writer. But it connected me into the Guild, and I've been learning a lot from them, and I hope I've been contributing, you know, back just as much now, but that's really how I got started.
Joe, if I'm an aspiring writer and I'm feeling the call, I'm thinking that, yeah, I can write and I'd like to start doing it. Maybe I have a blog. What do I do if I don't have any connections to a publisher? And because I know there are a lot of self-publishing options, what if I'm somebody who is feeling that call now? What is the first step that I can take to getting my book out there? I hear so many people who tell me, oh, I have a book in my head, but I don't know what to do. What would you say to somebody who is in that position?
Well, I've heard from a lot of publishers and published authors that, especially nowadays, and with the ubiquity of blogging and an online promotion, Facebook pages, Twitter feeds, things like that, that there's maybe an expectation and certainly a benefit to having some self-promotion ideas and having even an established platform mm-hmm. that you can speak from, that looks very good to a publisher, that you've already got something there that mm. you're going to contribute to that marketing effort, that you're going to bring some, maybe some existing readers along with you, you know, for the ride, and that can make you more appealing, certainly.
Mm-hmm. Now, if somebody is interested in finding out more about the Catholic Writers Guild, do they have to be a published author in order to become a member?
Oh, absolutely not. Okay. Like I said, I connected with them when I was a blogger.
Right, that's
not
right.
a terribly good one at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And they were very happy to kind of take my hand and help walk me along.
So if somebody is interested, the best place to go is CatholicWritersGuild.org. Is that correct?
CatholicWritersGuild.org or .com. Either one will work.
Excellent. And your personal website, Joe, is JoeWetterling.com, correct?
That's correct.
Excellent. Listen, Joe, I really want to thank you for joining us today on the program, for talking a little bit about what you're doing and as well as what the Catholic Writers Guild is doing.
Oh, my pleasure, Gary. Thank you.
Have a wonderful day, Joe, and Merry Christmas.
And Merry Christmas to you, too.
That's right. God bless you.
God bless you.
That is Joe Wetterling, the president of the Catholic Writers Guild. And we're going to have that information linked on spiritinthemorning.com. I think that's such a difficult challenge that many people face. They feel this call to be writers. And I know this is something that I experienced in my own life. And that's when I got involved in blogging. I felt the Lord placing on my heart that I should be writing. And again, I don't have any experience in writing. I'm not trained in it, but I'm able to write. I can do it. So I started blogging. One thing led to another. That led to some radio work. And before you know it, I was writing books. I'll have my sixth published book coming out in a few weeks. But check out the Catholic Writers Guild. Here's the deal. Here's what you should remember. If you're feeling this call to write or to express, to share your faith in written form, don't dismiss it. Because a lot of times the Lord uses very imperfect people, not people with a lot of credentials, to do His work. So keep that in mind. Catholic Writers Guild, check them out, CatholicWritersGuild.org, for more information. Right now, your time on Spirit in the Morning is 7:45. Currently, it is 56 degrees, very balmy out for this time of year, but I'm very happy about that. I will enjoy it. When we come back after the break, we're going to do the Be Not Afraid Bible verse, and also I'm going to continue with the remaining few items from this article by Patty Armstrong, 12 prayers to help you receive all the gifts God has for you. Sometimes we forget to ask. It's so simple. The Lord said, ask and you shall receive. But if you don't ask, you often don't receive. So we're going to talk about that when we come back. Do me a favor. Don't go anywhere. Grab another cup of coffee. Get comfortable, because we're going to be right back after the break on Spirit in the Morning.
More enjoyable than Scrabble. Spirit.
Spirit.
Spirit in the Morning with Gary Simak.
Yeah, I am very passionate about the subject of mission, and I was listening to Gloria and her music a few minutes ago. And,
do you find it hard to sleep tonight? Resting by the Christmas lights, could there be something you forgot? Beyond the bows and mistletoe, the tree with presents wrapped below, there's more to this than you had ever thought. Have we lost the reason that celebrate each year? What is Christmas if there never was a Savior wrapped in a manger? What is Christmas without Christ? Remember how God's gift was wrapped in swaddling clothes beneath the star, one great and holy night. The shepherds heard the angels sing, the wise men brought an offering, peace on earth began in Bethlehem. Have we lost the
is Christmas by Cutlass. It's important to remember, right? Isn't it? It's important to remember the true meaning of Christmas, and you're going to get that here at Spirit in the Morning. Incidentally, we just received a tweet from Pope Francis. Christmas has above all a taste of hope, because for all the darkness in our lives, God's light shines forth. Remember that as you face these supposed dark situations. We all have them. We all have these problems. We all look at our difficulties. And sometimes we just lose sight of the fact that the light of the world, Jesus Christ, is a part of our lives. Don't forget that today. No matter what you're facing, Jesus is with you. Turn to him in prayer. It doesn't have to be anything complicated. Just very simply, Lord, please help me. And also, we have been going through this great article by Patty Armstrong. I'm going to get to the Be Not Afraid Bible verse in just a minute. But 12 prayers to help you receive all the gifts God has for you. Now, of course, you can pray in any way just by talking to the Lord. But these are some good things to ask for when you're praying. And a lot of these are, even though they're very simple, it's not necessarily the things we would think of. Dear Lord, help me to stop arguing with you. That's a good one. How silly to think I can convince you of anything. Why don't I understand that, Dave Parker? Lord, see, here's why you have to give this to me. Here's why you have to do this today.
Because our will, you think we think we know better than
we
God.
Do. Yeah. We do. And Patty says, you know my desires and you know what is best for me. Instead of arguing, help me to think of asking to be open for whatever you have for me. And again, that can be a prayer. Lord, please help me to be open for whatever you have for me. Please help me to stop arguing. You know, I can force myself to do it. That doesn't work too well. We have that tendency, as Dave said, to think we know better. But let's ask the Lord. Lord, help me to accept your will. Step number 10, God, I need help, not just to stop complaining, but also to see that the very things I'm complaining about are blessings. Help me to learn and love through them rather than to grumble. And when people make my life difficult, and I'm sure you can relate to this one, when people make my life difficult, remind me that the measure with which I measure will be measured back to me.
Ooh.
Thank you for the opportunity to receive undeserved mercy when I give it to others.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Dave, we all deal with difficult. Dave Parker, I'm sure you have no difficult people in your life.
No, not true.
Why are you
not
looking
true.
At me like that?
No, well, I'm just because I think you're onto a good point.
But no, we really, in all seriousness, we deal with difficult people.
Yes.
When I am kind to that difficult person, when I don't say what's really going through my mind, and mm-hmm. when I'm trying to be extra nice to that person, I'm showing mercy
Absolutely.
To that person.
Absolutely. And just, I mean, if we hold something against somebody, how will that be measured out to us? I mean, we're supposed to forgive and surrender to these.
Mm-hmm. And look at how God, merciful the Lord is with us. I mean, so many times he doesn't hold things against us, so we should show that same mercy. But again, we have to pray for that because it's not easy. This doesn't come naturally. And the final two prayers to help you receive all the gifts God has planned for you, rather than rushing by them, help me to see the angels you are putting in my path to lead the way so that I don't get lost. The first step is to talk to your guardian angel today.
Mm-hmm.
My guardian angel has been very busy throughout my life. And he's got certainly it's a full-time job for him.
And some overtime?
Some overtime, yeah. But, you know,
me too.
but recognize that you have a guardian angel to help you. Get used to talking to your guardian angel. And the 10th prayer to help you receive all the gifts God has for you. Dear Jesus, I surrender to your plan, just as you surrender to a plan that no one could have imagined would be the way to salvation for all mankind. I'm choosing today to accept everything you have for me. Please give me the courage and openness never to receive your gifts. When we talk about the birth of the Lord, when we look at the fact that he came into the world as an infant, and then when we take it from there and realize that ultimately, the way he redeemed us was on a cross by suffering and dying.
Mm.
Doesn't make sense.
A brutal death.
Doesn't make sense to the eyes of man, but yet in God's mind, it makes perfect sense.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we need to remember. He's got a better plan, and if we just learn to go along with that, we're going to be a lot more peaceful, and we'll get a lot closer to him in the process. So I want you to check that article out. I will have that linked at spiritinthemorning.com. 12 prayers to help you receive all the gifts God has for you. That's by Patty Armstrong, and that'll be at spiritinthemorning.com. Okay, the Be Not Afraid Bible verse of the day. We alluded to this earlier in the program. Especially when we come off of the Christmas season, there's a tendency to be overly commercial about it, overly materialistic, you know, that whole thing. Yet if you love somebody, you're going to buy them lots of gifts. Well, listen to what St. Paul has in the Be Not Afraid Bible verse today. This comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. What do you possess that you have not received? But if you have received it, why are you boasting as if you did not receive it? The reason I like this verse, when you first hear it, you might wonder, why does this fit into the be not afraid category? What does this What does this help me? How does this help me to not be afraid? Well, for one thing, it makes you realize that God has given you many, many blessings, including the gift of another day. You're alive today. Thank God for that. He didn't have to let us be alive. If you're listening to me, you obviously can hear, so you have the gift of hearing. If you have a house, you have a roof over your head, you might have some cars, you might have possessions, you might have any number of things in your life, family, friends. But above all, what you have, and I know this for a fact, I don't know your particular circumstances, but I know for a fact that you have a Savior, Jesus Christ, who loved you enough to become man for you, to suffer, and to be with you forever. He is right beside you. So turn to Jesus today and be thankful no matter what you're facing. He is the King of the universe, but yet He is with you. He is your best friend, and He's just waiting for you to ask for what you need. So ask Him. Tell Him you're worried. Tell Him you're struggling. Tell Him it's not easy for you. He wants to hear from you. And that should make you feel very comfortable. Right? Even though you might be suffering, even though you might be going through a number of things, Jesus is with you, and He cares about you. And if He's letting you go through something, remember that article we talked about today, even if it's unpleasant, offer up that suffering and ask Him for the grace to be able to accept it, knowing that He loves you. He's never going to let anything happen to you that somehow can't benefit you. And I think that, unfortunately, is something we forget too often. Let's close with our prayer for this feast day of St. John the Apostle. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
God, our Father, you have revealed the mysteries of your word through John the Apostle by prayer and reflection. May we come to understand the wisdom he taught. Grant this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, it's great to be back live in the studio today. We've got good shows coming up for the remainder of the week. Tomorrow, we're going to be joined by Christopher Bell, who is the co-founder of Good Counsel Homes in New York City. And they have a new one, relatively new one, that they opened up in South Jersey as well. So we're going to be talking to him about the great work that he does. Also, on Thursday, John Martinoni will be here with us. John is no stranger to all of our Holy Spirit Radio listeners. He's been on EWTN radio and television for years. He does a great job pointing out the biblical roots of Catholicism. So if you sometimes worry about, is Catholicism really biblical, you want to hear what John has to say. I think you're going to really enjoy him. He's somebody who helped me tremendously, and I think he's going to help you as well. So that's what we got coming up later in the week. Friday, we're going to do a pre-recorded program, but I just want to thank you for being a listener of the program. On behalf of Dave Parker, I'm Gary Zimek. Thanks for listening to Spirit in the Morning. And remember, it's still okay to say Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Have a good day. God bless you.